First, I want to thank Dr. Stolman and the Mishpacha for sponsoring this morning's breakfast. Anyone who wants to sponsor could feel free to speak to me or Menachem Lewin. So the next few weeks, I figured as we prepare for Matan Torah, it's a time that we learn Pirkei Avos and we work on Midos and Bein Adam L'Chavero. So I'd like to, for the next few weeks, use various topics, learn various topics related to business ethics and halacha. Anyone has any requests, I could try to accommodate. So the next 2 weeks, I wanted to discuss about the ending of interviews and resumes. And it's going to be a two-part series, this particular area, because one is the first topic of actual lying. The halacha is the iser of midvar sheker tirchak, and next week we're going to discuss gneves das. Gneves das, where you're holding back some information, a typical case, you know, you come in, and you're from person, and you're not telling them the next week where you're going to be missing Pesach and Sukkot and Purim and Tishbav. You hold that back until you get hired. That's something you have to really let them know beforehand. That's next week, Gneves Das. This week is about lying. Could you lie about some opportunity you once had, some offer you once had, you know, what your experiences were, and the resume, are you allowed to lie about certain things? And that's also a fine line between lying and embellishing. Can't get to all those details, but I want to just discuss overall the concept of lying. How it applies, each case is different, but just to add some chizuk on the Indian of sheker. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer Orchos Yosher, where he has the top 30 most areas that require the greatest chizuk bizman hazeh. Based on the questions, and he's been asked over the number of years, he puts sheker and MS as one of the top 30 topics that require tremendous amount of chizuk. So let's talk about this Indian of just simply lying and as it relates to life, and this particular case of interviews, resumes, and whatnot. Okay, so the Gemara in Yevamos number 1, Daf Samech Heim Nebez, Gemara tells us that Amar Rabbi Elai Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Mutter Lo Li Adam Lishanos B'Davar HaShalom. A person's allowed to Lishanos, to change what he says, to lie, in other words, when it comes to Shalom. Now, this is a very, very dangerous statement, because, you know, everything's Shalom, right? I don't want to Shalom bias, Shalom with my family, Shalom with my friends, and I can lie about everything, because this is a very dangerous Gemara. But the Gemara brings three examples where we find big people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu among them, not the people, but big individuals and beings who have lied over the course of history. So the first example the Gemara says, Shenemar Havicha Tziva V'Gomer, Ko Somru LiYosef Ana Sana. So this refers to the end of Parshas Vayechi, the end of Sefer Bereishis, when Yaakov Avinu passed away. So the brother said, we have a tzava from our father Yaakov Avinu that you should be nice to us. Now, we don't find anywhere that Yaakov Avinu said any such thing to the brothers. It says Rashi number 2, Yaakov lo tziva, elahem shinu mipnei darchei shalom. They used the heter of darchei shalom. It wasn't a husband and wife, it wasn't shalom bias. It was brothers. They used the heter of shalom bias in order to lie. Yaakov never gave them a tzava to make sure you're nice to us, but they're able to use that to lie. Another example the Gemara talks about. This time Shmuel is going to anoint David HaMelech to be king. And at the time, Shaul was still alive. Shmuel had appointed Shaul. Shaul had made a big mistake in not wiping out all of Amalek. So now he lost his position, and now Shmuel was told to go appoint David HaMelech. Now Shmuel was scared that if Shaul finds out, Shaul is going to kill Shmuel. So Shmuel says to Hashem, how am I supposed to do this? I'm going to be killed. So Hashem says, no, you'll lie. You can take an animal and pretend you're going to bring a carbon. And this way, when he asks what you're doing, you're going to bring a carbon and you're not going anywhere else. So this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving advice that Shmuel HaNavi could lie. And the third example is with regards to Avram and Sarah. The Gemara says that Sarah had complained when she was told she's going to have a child. She complained that, I'm too old to have a child. I'd rather, she said, my husband Avram is too old. Avram's too old. I can have a child, but he's way too old. That's what she said. And when Hashem reports back to Avram, he says, why did Sarah say that she's too old? Why she doesn't trust I can make miracles? But Sarah never said that she was too old. Sarah said that Avram was too old. So we see two places that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself lied in order to create shalom bias between husband and wife, between Shaul and Shmuel, between the brothers of Yosef. So again, as I said, this is a very dangerous Gemara, but we see from here that it's permitted to lie because of Shalom bias. Now the question becomes, it's a very glaring question, look at number 4, I just pulled out one line from the Aruch Lener, but many ask this question. The Aruch Lener on Yevamos asks, Ktsas Kasha. Now, it's only a small question, I thought this was a big question. Ktsas Kasha, Be'emes Eich mutter lishaker. How is it ever permitted to lie? Haksiv midvar sheker tirchak. You have to distance yourself, the pasuk says in Mishpatim, midvar sheker tirchak. From lying, you have to distance yourself very much. So how could Shalom Bayis serve as a heter for lying? That's the question. So how could Shalom Bayis override the iser of midvar sheker tircha? So there are two basic explanations that are found in the Achronim and Rishonim. Number one is the Aruch Lener himself. The Aruch Lener says that in each of these cases, there was never a sheker, never a lie that was said. They said things that could have been interpreted in one of two ways. They said something ambiguous, and it was open to interpretation, and it wasn't a lie. They didn't say, you know, yes versus no, or no versus yes. They said a statement which could have been interpreted. So he goes on to explain how this could be the case, but just, I don't want to go through all the details, but it was not a lie. There is no sheker. Of course the brothers, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu never lied. They would never lie. They just said something ambiguous, which is open for interpretation. That's all. So in fact, Shalom Bayis is not a heter to lie. You cannot lie for Shalom Bayis. That's answer one. Answer two is found in Tosas Das Zakenim. He says, again, it's more implicit here, that no, Shalom Bayis is so important that it can override the Isser of Midvar Sheker Tircha. So is it because Shalom Bayis is so important, it could violate Sheker, it could override Sheker? Or no, there was no Sheker that took place here. That's a nafkamina. That's the difference, rather. There was no Sheker, or there was Sheker, but Shalom Bayis is so important. That's the two ways to explain this Gemara.
So the Aruch Lener is saying, even though with the pasuk that were stated in Devamos, he's saying you still can't lie.
Exactly, you still can't lie. The Psukim, the way that Achorim explained the word, it says, Mutter lo la'adam l'shano. So it doesn't say, Mutter lo la'adam l'shaker. It doesn't say to lie. They altered their world. L'shano says they altered, they changed their words a little bit, which was left open for some interpretation. There was no lying that took place. They stretched the truth. They did something a little bit. They left it open. They were good lawyers, let's say. So,
examples, you could kind of read in how they kind of stretched. Or, for example, like when Yaakov was tricking Yitzchak, it's a little bit harder. He said, I'm Esau.
Right, so that was not an example brought here,
right.
But you're right. Rashi al-Torah fits in each one, what he meant by all that, but that's an example where you could interpret the words. That's an example. I mentioned a while ago, someone had asked me a question about his boss wanted him to deal with his cell phone. Something happened to the cell phone, and the boss had no idea how to deal with the technology and asked for the different details he wanted. So, but the company wouldn't talk to the employee, it would only talk to the owner of the. So it was going on for weeks and weeks and weeks. They wanted to know, you know, my boss is losing money now, and I can't get through to him. He can't give me permission to talk. At what point could I say I'm the boss? So it was the guy was a real Hefson Mammon at this point. So I said it when he asks you the question, is your name so? Or let's say, what's your name? So you could say, don't say my name is Reuven. Just say the name Reuven. Just say it. So that was like using that Rashi where you're not lying. It's just to create not Shalom Bayis, but for Hefsed Mamun purposes. So that day, I wouldn't suggest this overall. This heter of these Mutter Lashanos is only in a case of Shalom Bayis types of situations. But it's usher to lie. This is only able to alter and change the words a little bit. That's, again, one interpretation or no. Shalom Bayis is so important that it can override the iser of Midvar Sheker Tircha. Now, there's another Gemara that's found in Ksuba. It's a very interesting Gemara. Many of you probably heard of this. It talks about the famous song we said, Sing Ketad Miraptim Lifne Akala, number 7. How does one dance in front of the Kala? Now, what's interesting is, as a complete side point here, the Rishon point out, it doesn't say Ketad Miraptim Im Hakala, it says Lifne Akala. And they just felt it was necessary to teach. You can't dance with the Kala, obviously. You dance in front of the Kala, but not with the Kala. That was a need they had to point out. So the Gemara says, Ketad miraktim lifne akala. So Beishami omrim kala kemoshehi. You say it as it is. However she looks. If she's pretty, you call her pretty. If she's ugly, you call her ugly. That's it. That's Beishami. Beishami is very straight, very yashar. That was his din. That was his midah. Beis Hillel omrim, who of course we know love everybody and treat everyone very, very nicely. Beis Hillel omrim kala nava chasuda. You call every single kala a beautiful, beautiful kala, no matter how she looks. So Amr le Beishami le Beis Hillel, Harei shayisachi geres osuma, she has some mum to her. Omrim la, you're going to say she's a kala nova chasuda? How could you say such a thing? When she's not beautiful, you're going to call her beautiful? That Torah omr, the Torah tells us midvar sheker tirchak. You have to distance yourself so far from sheker. So how could you call something that's not? So Amru lehem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says to someone, the Divreichem, according to your words, Beis Shammai, Mishalokach mekach ra min hashuk. A guy comes home and he thinks he buys a nice piece of jewelry for his wife, and you could tell right away it's fake. So what are you going to tell the guy? Yishabchenu be'enav or yagnenu be'enav. You know the guy can't go back. He can't return the item. No returns allowed. So you're going to praise the guy, what a beautiful bracelet you bought for your wife? Or you're going to say, I can't believe you spent that much money on that fake piece of those fake diamonds. So Havi Omer, Yishab Chenobeina, if you praise it for in front of his eyes. And Mikan Amru, from here we see, Liolam Tihe Daitel Shel Adam Murevis Im Habrios. It should always be sweet and nice and getting along with the other people. That was the Midah of Hillel, as opposed to the Beis Shammai. He says, no, you have to speak the Emes. If she's not pretty, so you say she's not pretty. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, of course, like we almost always do, Paskin like Beis Hillel. Shulchan Aruch writes in number 8, that there's a mitzvah l'sameach chosen v'kala l'raki l'fanel. You're supposed to make them happy and dance in front of the kala. V'lomer, and you have to say, shino v'chasuda. And even if he says, v'afilu eino na'e, you could still call her pretty. So of course the question is how, Beis Shammai had a great question. This is an isser of sheker, midvar sheker tirchak. So how does Beis Hillel explain overriding the Isser of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, if she's not really
pretty.
True.
You have to define pretty also.
It's pretty in the
Midos. Midos.
You could interpret it differently.
Could be interpreted differently.
She's always subjective.
Okay, all correct answers. So we'll find that there are three answers in the Achronim that said, I think everyone, what you just suggested, that there is no Sheker taking place, of course. There's a lying here taking place. Let's go through each of these three answers. Number 9, the Chilkas Mechokek, one of the poskim on the Nosek Kalim on the side of Shulchan Aruch Evin Ezer. He writes, Lo she'im yesh la mum yomer she'ein la mum. You don't say she doesn't have it if she's, mum, she has no hair. You don't say, oh, she has hair. They can't say that because zeh sheker gomer, that's a complete lie. Of course it's usher. Rak yomer stam, just say, she's beautiful. And let there be this string of chesed be pulled towards her that the husband should find her very beautiful. You just say stam. You don't give details and say, oh, what pretty hair she has. What do you mean? She has no hair. So you have to say, just stam. She's a beautiful person. No, chas v'shalom, is there any sheker taking place here? That's the chelkas mechokek. You're just more general. A beautiful girl. A wonderful girl you're married. Someone asks you for some shidduch advice about a particular girl. You don't know who she is. You say she's a wonderful girl, has a wonderful family. She's a beautiful girl. No details. Fine. Then the Beis Shmuel says, who another of the Nosei Kalim on the Shulchan Aruch, he says, no, number 10, Afa gav d'chsiv midvar sheker tirchak, even though there's an iser to lie, yesh letaretz dvarav, one could interpret the words, what it means, shehina b'maaseha. She got a great personality, beautiful personality. She might not be the prettiest, but she's a beautiful personality. That's how it is. In the way she acts, in her personality. And then the Taz says, the third suggestion is that, is what Shlomi suggested, look at the very last line of the Taz, in number 11. I didn't bold it, though. Dekamar haynu be'enei achasan shela. Now, the chasan finds her beautiful. He married her, obviously. He finds her to be very attractive. So in his eyes, she's very beautiful. That's not a lie. It's subjective to at least the chasan. So these are three interpretations of what it means when you call her na v'chasuda, even though she's not really na, because it's not really a lie. It can be interpreted in different ways, in either a generic statement, or in the way she acts, her personality, or in the eyes of her husband. But then comes along the Ritva. Ritva doesn't interpret like any of these achronim. Ritva there in the Gemara and Ksubis has one line, number 12, is the chol shumipnei darchei shalom ein bo mishum dvar sheker tircha. You are allowed to lie. You can lie, but the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that you're able to lie mipnei darchei shalom. So shalom bias of this new chasan v'kala can override the iser of sheker. According to the other achronim, no, sheker is a very serious thing. You can never lie. Even for darchei shalom, you can't lie. You can only interpret things, understand things in a different way, but you can never violate the iser of sheker. But the Ritva says, because of Darchei Shalom, again, the examples we have are relationships, husband and wife, brothers with each other, a Navi and a Melech. Because of Darchei Shalom, according to the Ritva at least, you can override the Isser of Midvar Sheker Tircha.
So that's an hour in a conversation to say to the husband and wife that
exactly.
He told me this and you told me
exactly.
That's that, right? You can't interpret it differently.
Exactly. So according to the Ritva, so others would say that story of the Aaron Cohen, which we find in many Midrashim, he didn't lie. He said different things, which could have been interpreted different ways. But according to the Ritva, that was meant to be taken literally, that no, he mamish lied. That Reuven wants to make up with you. And Levi, Reuven wants to make up with you, and he did lie because of Darchei Shalom. Any type, there's a relationship. Now, this wouldn't allow, one could say, I need a parnasa. So if I don't have parnasa, my wife's going to be mad at me. So that's also Darchei Shalom. So maybe I could lie and cheat on my taxes so that I could have Darchei Shalom. That's, I think, very far-fetched.
Rabbi, I heard in the Shlosh Yishrei Midos, it goes Chesed ve'emes, and Chesed comes before emes. And in order to keep the peace, Chesed comes first. Have you heard such a thing?
No. Yeah. Okay. Now, there is another famous Gemara, which speaks about lying. And that's a Gemara Baba Metzia, the Gemara in Eil Metzias. Gemara number 13, Baba Metzia, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis on the bottom, it goes to the top of Chav Dalad. Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Damar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Behani Tlas Mile, with regard to these three items, Avidei Rebanan Dimishanu Bimilayu. The rabbis, the Talmidei Chachamim, were accustomed to changing their words, or let's say lying. What are the three examples? Maseches, Purya, Ubu, Shpiza. These three areas. And which Rashi interprets on the next page. Rashi says, Maseches, if a guy asks if you learned a certain Masechta, you can lie. You're allowed to lie. Because if I tell him I learned Maseches Yevamos, he's going to start asking me questions in Yevamos. I don't have time to answer his questions. So I could say, no, I never learned Yevamos. Don't bother me. The guy asks about Purya. It's referring to Tashmish. So that's inappropriate to talk about such topics. So that you could lie and answer no. And the third topic, which is an interesting one, is Ushpiza. If you stayed at a nice person, a person who a very wonderful host, and he took care of you, gave you a nice bed and a breakfast and everything, accommodations, and he asks, how was this stay? You could say it was terrible. The guy was mean, he yelled at me, his wife was screaming at me. You could say that and lie, because if you say it was so nice, he's now going to get bombarded with other people wanting to stay there as well, and it won't be very nice for that guy. So these are three areas where Talmidei Chachamim were accustomed to lying about. So who cares that Talmid Chacham lies about these three things? What's the nafkamina? So the Gemara is talking about Hashavas Aveda. And the Halachas of Hashavas is a side point, just to get you the full picture of the Gemara at least. Hashavas Aveda, if a guy lost an item, so the only way that you could retrieve that item back is if you give the proper simanim. I can't say, oh, yeah, it looks like mine, let me take it home now. Now the guy can't show you the glove that you lost. I said, I found the glove. Do you have any simanim? Yes, it was black and had a red little line on it. So that's the glove that I lost. So then you could give it back to them. But when it comes to a Talmid Chacham, we trust the Talmid Chacham with Tfias Ayin, that he could look at his glove and know that this is his or it's not his. So who qualifies as a Talmid Chacham, whether we could trust him by looking at the item or not? So the Gemara tells us if he only lies in these three areas, the Maseches and Purya and Ushmiza, that's a qualifying Talmid Chacham that we would return the object even before he gives us any of these simon. Okay, so now the big question here is, there is no Shalom bias going on here. There's no Shalom bias where the guy lies about what he learned, where he lies about Purya and lies about Ushpiza. There's no real Shalom bias. Okay, maybe Purya you could say, maybe Ushpiza could be maybe Darchei Shalom with the other guy, but certainly not Maseches. Very hard to interpret that this Gemara is referring to Darchei Shalom. So what's the explanation of the Gemara in Bava Metzia as to why Talmidei Chachamim are allowed to lie about these three areas, Midvar, Sheker, Tircha? So the An of Yosef, one of the Perushim, this is number 15, number 15, I underlined a different part, but we're not reading that. If you look at the Anaf Yosef, he's one of the Mefarshim that's found on the Ein Yaakov, on all the Agarata Gemaras. So I'm going to read this inside. It's Os Beis, and he says as follows. Behani tlas mile, avidi rabbanan dimishanin milayu. These three areas, the rabbis are accustomed to lying. Dikta kulomar, mishanim milayu. They change the words, velo amru avidu dimishakri. The Gemara didn't say that they would actually lie. They would just change, adjust the terminology a little bit. Ki chas v'shalom lomar, shemishim eza tam v'siba yotziu sheker mipim. Chas v'shalom to suggest that a rabbi would ever have any sheker come out of his mouth. Ki sheiras yisrael lo yidabu kozov. Klal Yisrael doesn't speak false. V'chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. We know the stamp of Hashem, the Gemara tells us, is Emes. That's how he stamps the letters, with Emes. V'amishakir, Mishakir Chas V'shom V'chosim HaMelech Kanoda. So he goes on to say that this whole Gemara, there is no sheker taking place. They said things that had betray Abfe. They could have been interpreted in two ways. The guy asked, did you learn Masech HaZivamos? He said, what's the weather outside? He didn't lie. He didn't say yes, but he didn't lie. There's a Gemara in Yuma. It talks about Rabbi Eliezer. There's a series of questions that the Talmidim asked Rabbi Eliezer. I forget the examples, but different halakhic questions. And they were talking about one topic, and he started changing the topic to something completely different. And this went on for a series of questions. He kept on avoiding the topic. And the Gemara ends up saying, it wasn't because he didn't know the answer. Rabbi Eliezer knew the answer. Rabbi Eliezer was Rabbi Eliezer. But he didn't. He had a certain tradition. They wouldn't say anything that he didn't hear directly from his Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Hifligu bidvar. Hifligu means haflaga. When a Sfina goes haflaga, it goes off. You go off topic. You change a topic. So what the Anaf Yosef says here, that there is no sheker taking place in this Gemara. When they asked him what Gemara, if he learned this Masechta, he didn't lie. He just, Hifligu bidvar. He just changed the topic. They asked about Pur Yer and Ushpiza. He just changed the topic, but he didn't chas v'shalom lie. So then this Gemara makes sense. There's no sheker taking place. But the problem is, according to Rashi, the simple reading of the Gemara is that there is sheker. He lied. He says clearly, do you learn the Masechta? He says, no, I didn't learn the Masechta. There's no hifligu b'dvarim according to Rashi. So according to Rashi, what is the heter of a Talmud Chacham lying about these three areas of Masechas, Purya, and Ushpiza? So we have to take a little different approach now. Let me ask you the question, is the halacha or the isser of midvar sheker tirchak, is that an isser? Is that an isser? Is that a los hasay counted in the Moni HaMitzvahs? Do the Moni HaMitzvahs, the Rishonim who count mitzvahs, is that one of the Taryag mitzvahs or not? So the Sefer Yireim, in number 16, counts Midvar Sheker Tirchak as one of the 613 mitzvahs. He writes Midvar Sheker Tirchak, and he qualifies it and says, Midvar Sheker Tirchak Chayiv Lisrachek. You need to distance yourself from any sheker. Aval Sheker Sheyuchal Lidei Chavera. It's only an isser that's going to lead to some type of damage. If you lie and someone's going to lose out because of that, have some loss, that's when there's an isser to lie. But then he says further down, if it's lying that's not going to harm anyone, lo hizira Torah love. There's only an isser to lie when there's going to be resulting hefsed, resulting hezek. But to lie, just stam, just to, for no other reason, just to lie, there is no Isser Midaraisa according to the Sefer Yireim. Fascinating. Why he limits that? We'll explain what that means in a second. In fact, the Tuafos Re'im, who's the footnotes on the bottom of the Sefer Yireim, I don't have it down here, they didn't have it in Bar Ilan, but he comments that that's the explanation of Beis Hillel. Why Beis Hillel allowed the person to lie about how beautiful she was? Because it wasn't causing anybody any nezek. By him saying she's beautiful when she wasn't beautiful, that's not causing any harm to anyone. He just made her husband happier, that's all. So when there's no nezek involved, so then sheker, lying, is permitted, which is extremely dangerous, of course. But that's what the Sefer Yireim says. So the Sefer Yireim counts it as one of the mitzvahs.
Why is the Gemara saying play Dr. Shalom? You lied Mishnah, the first Gemara we learned.
Right.
You have to come on to that.
Correct.
Those instances... No
right, very, very good.
It's
true. It could be that those cases. It could be that. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Sure. With the Shvatim, there was Hezek. They were afraid of Yosef doing something to them.
But if they didn't lie, you're only allowed to lie if it won't cause Nezek. So it didn't cause any Nezek. That's when it's permitted. Yeah. When it causes Nezek, lying causes Nezek, then there's an Isser. I guess all those examples. You don't need Dar Hasham. If it's not going to cause Nezek, then you don't even need Dar Hasham. So I'm not sure. Now the Rambam does not count Midvar Sheker Tirchak as one of the mitzvahs. He kind of puts it in under another category of where a judge shouldn't listen to one of the Bali Dinim before the other Bali Dinim. They both have to be present. And he throws in there's an Isser to lie as well. But it's not a prominent Isser. It's not an Isser Bifnei Atzmo. The Sefer Charedim number 19 does quote Midvar Sheker Tirchak as a mitzvah, but he says different than the Yireim. If you look at number 19, he says, Mitzvahs Aseh daber emes, to speak the truth. Afilu b'mile d'alma d'lekebu d'rar d'ramona. Shinemar midvar sheker tichak. Just speaking. Even when there's no impact, there's no hezek, you should always speak the truth, and there's an issur to lie, even though no one's going to be affected by the lie. While the Yireim said only when there's a hezek is there an issur, the Charedim says that there's always an issur, even when there is no hezek. Yeah, Abi.
Does the Yireim hold it to mitzvah or mitzvah
losase? I think he says losase. You're right, the Charedim puts it as mitzvah ase, and he throws in the midvar sheker tichak as the opposite, but you're right.
Is the hezek, is it mammon or it could be...
Good question. The Yireim doesn't say which one it is. It could be seemingly any other type of hezek. I don't know. It could be a better reputation, a person's shame, tov, shame ra. Not sure. Yeah, they quote the smag is also according to the mitzvah asay, right. So what's this machlok is whether or not midvar sheker tirchak is a mitzvah or it's not. What does it mean it's not a mitzvah? How is it not a mitzvah? It's a pasuk in the Torah. So I think from looking at Rabbeinu Yonah, I think we could understand what the machlok is going on here, and everything will, I think, flow very nicely. Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, he's talking about the inyan of lying, and he mentions a couple of times that this is a midah, it's a midah ra. So I think the machlok is as follows. Is midvar sheker tirchak a mitzvah, a lo saseh, or is it a midah? It's a midah ra. It's a bad midah, not a mitzvah. Kahas, there's no mitzvah of not to have kahas. It's a midah. It's not. There's no mitzvah not to have a taiva, not to any of these midos. It's a midah we have to work on. But you don't count it as a mitzvah. Don't have kahas. That's not considered a mitzvah. So according to the Yireim, the Yireim thinks that it is a lo saseh. Sheker is a lo saseh. It's bein adam lechavero. When you cause damage to somebody else, like a shur shemazik, or chovel b'chavero. So sheker also is when you cause damage to a person, that's another type of nezik. But when there is no damage to someone, there's no problem for me to lie. I'm not affecting anybody. But according to the Rama, who doesn't count midvar sheker tirchak as a mitzvah, it's a midah. So just like a person can't have kas, even though there's no one who's, let's say, the target of my anger, I can't just be angry and start hitting the wall. That's a bad midah to have, even though there's no target there. So too, the Rambam holds it's a bad midah to lie, even when no one's affected by the lie. There's no nezek involved. And that's what the Charedim, I think, means, afilu b'mila d'alma, the lek of udrar d'ramona. Even when there's no financial impact, there's an isser to lie, because that's just a midah ra. A midah ra, a bad midah, can never be in a person, no matter if it's affecting someone or not affecting anybody. So that's the, I think, machlokas, I believe so, whether midvar sheker tirchak is a lo sase, a type of nezek, a damage, or is it just a midah ra? And now with that, I think we can explain the sheet of Rashi and the Gemara Bava Metzia. The Gemara Bava Metzia said that Talmud Chacham is allowed to lie in three areas. When it comes to Maseches, Purya, and Ushpiza. How could he lie? There's no Shalom Bias taking place. The Shalom Bias is a heter, but there's no Shalom Bias in these three examples of the Talmud Chacham. So what's the basis for the lying for a Talmud Chacham? So you look at number 21. I quoted Rashi again, but I highlighted some key words here now. So Rashi writes, let's go through each Rashi. Number 21. B'maseches, yesh b'yadcha maseches, plonit, sedur b'gir. So hello, the guy asks you, do you know this maseches well? Afagav shesedur hilo, even though you know it well, yomar lo, you could tell the guy lav. Why? Because it's a midas anavihi. So what? Because I'm a humble person, I could lie? It doesn't make any sense. Since when do we find we have ase docha lo sase? That we have a concept where one mitzvah, ase, is docha lo sase. But how can my humble midah override an iser? We don't have midah tova docha lo sase. So Elamai, I think according to Rashi, if it's a midah versus a midah, midvar sheker tirchak isn't a lo sase according to Rashi, it's a midah. So I have two midas against each other. So now which one's going to override? On one hand, I can be humble. I can have midah nava. On the other hand, I have another midah of emes. So should I tell the truth and be a balgaiva? Or should I lie and be an anav? So that's the tension here of two different midos. Is it anava versus sheker? Which one is more important? So the Gemara is telling me that the midas anava is more important than the midah of sheker. There's no iser lo sase of sheker. It's a midah of sheker. So my humility could override the midah of lying. Second example. It's very meduk in Rashi. But Puria, Sheimashta b'tios mitascha, Yomar Lav, you say no, midas tsniyasu. Again, mida. Rashi says it's a mida. So the mida of tsniyas overrides the mida of sheker. It's not a mida versus a lav. There's no lav of a sheker according to Rashi. The Rambam doesn't count it as a one of the taryag mitzvahs. It's one mida versus another mida. And then finally, the case of Bushbiza, the Rashi explains. Shalua al Ushbiza. You ask the guy about how the host was. Im kablu b'sever panim yafos. Did he, was he very warm and inviting to you? Did he smile? Amar lav, you could say no, because that's a mida tova. Again, he says mida in each of these Rashis. He explains what the mida is. K'dei shalu yikaptu bo b'nei adam she'enam huganim levo tamid olav. If you tell the guy it's a good host, so all these corrupt people are going to start bombarding the house and take advantage of the nice guy down the block. So you can lie, because that's a mida tova. So for Rashi, it's a mida tova, which is overriding the mida of emes. Normally, the mida of emes and mida sheker is very important. You can never lie. But when it comes to darche shalom, when it comes to these examples of nivus, tsnius, and mida tova, whatever mida tova means exactly, that's an example where we would do away with lying and embrace these types of midas. Again, of darche shalom, midas anava, midas tsnius, and midas tova. So I want to prove one from one last piece. We have this idea that really sheker is not really a lav, but really it's a mida. It's a mida, how to speak to someone, how to speak even though it doesn't affect anybody. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Kuf Nun Vav. Anyone know what Siman Kuf Nun Vav in Mishnah Berurah is about?
That's the area of
Beis Knesses. It talks about when a person leaves shul, after talking about all the halachas of davening and Birchas HaShachar and Tzitzis and Tefillin and Tefillah and Shema and everything, then this Kuf Nun Vav is like, what do you do after shul? Like, we go to work now. There's one siman which talks about a very small siman Shulchan Aruch which talks about work, but the Maggid of Ram lists a whole series of halachas of how to conduct yourself in business. Masa Matan. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes one of the halachas, which again is very, very challenging. The Mishnah Berurah says you can't lie in number 22. But ach mipnei hashalom mutter l'shanos. But if there's some level of shalom, you're allowed to change your words. Okay, so there was a Maggid of Ram right. So the Maggid of Ram writes number 23. It's mutter l'shanos mipnei hashalom, and he qualifies this haynu b'davar shekvar avar, something that had happened in the past. But not for something that's going to happen. If something happened in the past, you could change and lie a little bit about what has happened in history. But something that's going to happen soon, yeah, I'll get the job done by 2 o'clock. Don't worry. And you know you're really not going to get it done by 2 o'clock. That would be usur. But if you say you're already completed, I said, don't worry, I finished it by 9 o'clock in the morning, even though you didn't finish it till 10:30 in the morning. That's permitted according to the Maggid of Ram. So what's the difference about shekvar avar versus la'asid? It should be usur to lie in all cases. So, I saw in the Sefer, they explain this Maggid of Ram as follows. The isur of lying and changing words, it's a mida. He wasn't saying quite a mida. I heard it was about regilus. We don't want a person to be accustomed to lying. So, if something happened in the past, it's not going to make you accustomed. Already, it's whatever is done is done. You talk about what's going to be, when I'll finish a job, when I'll get this done, that's now regulating yourself to lying more and more. It's about regilus. So that's the explanation I saw for the chilek why it's permitted shekvar avar, what already had happened, but it's not permitted for blahaba, what's going to happen. And that, I think, lines up very nicely for what we're explaining, that midvar sheker tirchak is not a lav. It's a midara. So midara is about when a person regulates himself to do a midah. That's what the whole explanation is. That's a midara.
Also, there's no nezek then? There'll be no nezek. It's done.
That way,
done by 10:39.
Exactly. If you hold like the Yerayim, then it's Pasha, there would no be...
Saying that you're going to get something done and you don't, that's already potential nezek.
Exactly. But that's if you assume like the Yerayim, that there's a real lav.
Right.
So then that would also be explained what was done versus what's going to be. But even in the world of the Yerayim, if I told him I get it done by 2, but he doesn't really need it by 4, that also won't cause any nezek.
Right.
But according to the Maggid of Ram and the Rashi, it would still be usur because it's a midah ra. You don't want to be ragil to lie. And this would also explain the shita of the Yam Shel Shlomo. The Yam Shel Shlomo, number 24, he quotes the Gemara in Yevamos that mutter l'shanos b'divrei shalom. We said you could change your words a little bit when it comes to shalom bias, and he makes a very, very important qualification. He says, v'nireh dafka davar shu bakrai. only once in a while. You can't be regular to like lie every morning. Yeah, I went to davening. Don't worry about it. You were sleeping, but I went to davening. I came back and I rolled back into bed. I was tired. You can't lie about that regularly. Hey, once in a while you can pull that off, but it can't be a davar tamid. But bat cry, what's the difference? If you're mutter, if it's a mutter, but darche shalom, so it should always be mutter. But if we're explaining that the whole heter is to have a midah, to work on the midah, so once in a while the heterim of stretching the truth a little bit. But to make this ruggle, to have such a midah of always lying, so then the heter of darche shalom wouldn't apply. And then finally we'll leave off with this, which of course we all have our own personal stories. I've heard stories about parents lying to their children, not even realizing. The famous story everybody knows, the kid comes home from school and he got in trouble in yeshiva. And the parents are busy screaming at him, why'd you lie? How could you lie? How could you cheat on the test? There's no reason to cheat on the test. You have to be honest. You have to be MS. And they're busy screaming at the kid. And then the phone rings and the daughter picks up the phone and says, Ta, it's for you. Says, tell him I'm not home now. So again, we have to be so careful in what we say, because we don't even realize that's how accustomed we are to lying, that it trickles down to the children. So the Gemara in Sukkah says in number 25, Amar Rebbe Zeira, Lo leima inish liyanuka diyahavni lecha midi v'lo yavle. A person shouldn't say to a child, I'll give you something, and you don't really give it to him. You have to be very honest with your children also. Why? Mishum da'asei lagmure shikah, because now your children are going to learn how to lie as well. As they say, you lying, so they're going to lie also. As it says, you quote the pasuk. So the question the Achronim ask is, the reason why it should be asked to tell your child is because it's a pasuk, midvar sheker tircha, not because the children will be accustomed to lying. It should say, a person, lo leima inish liyanuka diavne lecha midei v'lo yavle, mishum midvar sheker tircha, because it's an issa deraisa. But it says, no, mishum da'asa lagmure shikah, because they're going to learn how to lie also. I think this is a clear riot from this Gemara that midvar sheker tirchak is not a lav. There's no lav of lying. But midvar sheker tirchak is a midah. It's a midah ra, no different than having a midah of kas. Whatever midah a person is struggling with, lying is also a midah that a person has to work on. A person gets pulled into a taiva, gets pulled into a kas, he gets pulled into being a shakran. He lies all the time, and therefore you shouldn't lie on your own, and you certainly shouldn't lie to your children, because that's teaching your children to do the same thing and be ruggel in that world. So now, I'm not bringing it to Lach Lamaisa, but I think it's clear from here that when it comes to resumes, when it comes to interviews, I think it's quite clear that a person should not lie by any means, in any way, and therefore we should stick to the MS, and by holding on to the MS we'll be zocha to have a parnasa, we'll be brach with gashmis and with ruchnis. And Mirza Hashem, next week we'll pick up and we'll continue the topic, which is more nogeya, about gnevas das. Again, when you come into an interview and you know that you'll be missing weeks and weeks and weeks because of Yontif, Pesach, and Sukkis, so do you have to now divulge that information to your employer before you hire them or not?